on the back roads of my hometown. I was baptized once or twice by some grifters in a storefront church in exchange for eternal life. They said, you're going to heaven. Yeah, I was told I was going to heaven. Oh, Lord, I'm going to heaven now. I prayed what they said to pray. I can't wait to get to heaven. Gonna have me a gay old time in heaven. Fuck me, I'm going to heaven. I made a steal of a deal that day.
Welcome to Apostates on the Fringe, a podcast where we discuss politics and religion from a leftist point of view. I'm Sam.
I'm Dustin.
I'm Alistair.
And we are all drinking. I'm drinking the same thing I drank the last 2 weeks, s'mores porter.
Al, what do you got this time? I can't read that bottle this far.
I finally found the Sweetwater 420 mango kush that I've been looking for like a month and a half and couldn't find.
Was that beer market or where did you go?
I found it
in
Kroger out in Clinton.
Okay. As promised, I did go back to the same place, and this is, again, the Tailgate Brewing Company out of Atlanta, and I did find it's Imperial Peanut Butter and Jelly Milk Stout. It's very similar to the peanut butter milk stout I had last week. It is a little bit sweeter, but this bad boy is 10% alcohol by volume, so this is going to be a good night for me. So if I'm slurring my words at the end of the night, that's,
I'll get into the good topics by then.
So we have a new intro this week, For this week, we have a different intro.
Yeah, you guys would have noticed the new intro that we have this week by an artist that's known by Alistair.
It's Adeem the Artist. You can find him. I think he's on or they're on Bandcamp and Spotify. I know for sure that's where I'm listening to them. He just dropped this album last week, and I am so in love with it.
For the listeners who want to, you know, find that music, along with some of the other creators that we have for our bumpers or music throughout the show, you can go to apostatepod.com and visit our About Us section, and on the bottom will be links to all the artists that contribute and allow us the use of their music for the show. So we have a lot of stories and content we want to cover this week. A lot of it's going to be legislation-based. I know we covered a few last week. Some of them were pretty good, the Equality Act and the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act. This week is going to be just a shitstorm of awful bills by the GOP because, unfortunately...
That's what they do.
Well, and here's what's going on. I think they're purposely, like, competing against each other to see who can introduce the most unconstitutional bill they can.
It's a dick measuring contest, basically, between them. Now, who can be the biggest asshole?
They're pushing the limits to see how far they can go.
I mean, no, this is obviously... I would hope none of this actually goes through. I think they'll be struck down before they even get to the Supreme Court. I think the lower courts will knock it down.
Pull it back just a little bit, you know.
Just chip it away at a time.
They're testing the water, yeah.
Look at Marjorie, who's just fucking with them constantly, like making them... Forcing them into votes, forcing things to be read aloud, word by word, entire bills.
They're just trolls.
She's fucking trolling.
There's nothing that Republicans are except obstructionists. They're what's holding us back, each and every Republican.
That was annoying.
I'm counting the voters in there as well.
So the House recently, of course, and then President Biden did sign the COVID relief bill. But as soon as, like, the House even started their session, that jive-ass Marjorie got up there and put a motion to adjourn. And, like, even the GOP's fed up with her shit. Like, 41 of the GOP voted to, like, continue the session despite her rhetoric. And then she tweeted out, keep in mind who's not voting to adjourn. Like, fuck off.
You know, I'm a troll. I thoroughly enjoy good trolling. It really annoys the fuck out of me to see that kind of behavior from the government, though. Like, me trolling as a citizen is completely different than... an elected official
right.
who has real work to do instead of actually working, fucking trolling, you know, dragging things out, causing trouble. It's completely inappropriate.
And this is a bill that's supposed to help out, you know, the citizens of of this country that have been affected by COVID and offering, you know, relief to several areas. And she just goes in to troll, to delay the process, even though she knows her efforts are futile, given that they have the minority in the
We live in the troll generation where 4chan is a political party now. This is what happens when 4chan determines the political direction of the country.
I'm not even a big fan of the like snapbacks and stuff on Twitter. Now they do entertain me sometimes,
but they don't get anything done. But they didn't get anything done for the 4 years of Trump.
Right? It's just
how many times was Trump owned online? And what did that do?
I can understand like AOC, like why she engages in it because it's constantly thrown at her 24/7.
She also talks to people. Like she talks to her.
Right.
She's in pretty good contact with her Twitter base, and she pops up on people's streams. Like
she also had that Twitch stream, right? That had 400. She broke the record, didn't she? For how many people viewed that?
She's a politician that is actually in touch with people. And so I do get
it. Wouldn't have even gotten that far though if it weren't for the Trump presidency. This whole like Twitter war shit wasn't a thing before Trump got in office, and it kind of paved the way for Republicans under him to be petty and do dumb shit on Twitter, which, yeah, of course, you can understand why Democrats are coming back at this point.
Well, it started before he was president. It started while, you know, during his election is when people started really feuding against each other on that, and now you have politicians just following Trump's lead and just, you know, insulting each other over fucking Twitter. It's embarrassing to say the least.
It's real mature behavior from people who are leading this country, have some of the most decisions to make, your most important decisions to make about this country, and they're calling each other names on Twitter.
Well, they were able to finally drop their pretense with Trump. They've always been these people, but they could at least pretend to be civil and that was part of their image, and they've learned they don't even need that anymore.
Yeah, they don't because taught them that. No one holds those Republicans don't hold their GOP leaders or lawmakers accountable. They don't. They get away with fucking everything. Didn't they vote in the guy who like body slammed the fucking reporter in that state? They did.
Well,
like just there's nothing like remember when Trump said that he can go in the middle of Times Square and shoot someone and not lose any votes? Like I firmly do believe that they have that the GOP has that power because unlike like Democrats, like right now Cuomo has 41 New York lawmakers calling for his resignation. You wouldn't have that if it was a GOP. They wouldn't. They don't turn on each other. They protect their own and the voters do the same.
That makes them stronger and that's what makes the everyone to the left of them weaker.
Yeah.
What's his name? The was it Cawthorn? He's a Republican senator, I believe. The guy, like, he's in a wheelchair. But before his whole campaign, he talked about how he was training for the Olympics. Well, like people who actually do train for the Olympics have all come out and been like, he's not doing any of it. Like, there's a certain thing you have to do. There's a whole process to get to the point where you're even considered for the Olympics. And he hasn't done any of it. Any of it. They're like, we've been making fun of this guy for years and years. And his followers are so fucking dumb that he ended up, they elected him. Even though his entire campaign was a goddamn lie.
Of course it is. But before we get to our stories, I kind of want to, just make fun of Republicans who were losing their goddamn shit over some cartoons.
Yeah.
Some sort of cartoon characters.
Cartoon rabbit titties.
Cartoon rabbit titties and Pepe Le Pew.
He's rapey. I mean,
he is rapey, but like, why are they, like, they putting him on some golden pedestal, not Pepe Le Pew.
Just as I was saying last week, I think the Pepe Le Pew thing just shows that the writers of Looney Tunes just can't use that character well. Like, you could still use that character because he is a exaggeration of a real type of person, right?
Right.
And I think it really just shows that their writers suck and they can't know how to use him and teach actual lessons with him. Like, there's a lot they could do with that character, but
So there's a lot of people defending that, Pepe Le Pew's character. Like, well, he was obviously the one who never got the girl, was never successful. So it shows that this behavior wasn't approved.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. It's like Johnny Bravo. Do you remember Johnny Bravo?
I remember Johnny Bravo.
Yeah, he was the same type of character. But, like, Johnny Bravo was obviously, like, no one actually thought Johnny Bravo was cool. He was the fool, and Pepe Le Pew's the same.
Right.
Like I said, it really shows bad writing that, I think that none of the cartoons themselves were trying to show you that it's cool to be Pepe,
Yeah, well,
he smells and he thinks he's all that, and no one actually likes him. That was the whole point of the character. And the point of the character is this is a shitty guy, and he's an exaggeration of, like, even the people that created him said that he's an exaggeration of people they knew. And that's what he is. And if you are a good writer and you want to tackle, you know, a nuanced topic of rape culture, use Pepe Le Pew, but they don't even want to touch that.
And this is because, you're right, there was shitty writing, because even Pepe Le Pew back in the past, it was the same fucking shtick, right? Like, some cat would get, like, somehow painted white or something like that, and then he would, right, you know, go after that character, and it was the same fucking shtick every time.
They could write it in and, you know, use it to teach consent
exactly
in the movie easily.
Yeah,
you know, they could easily show another character seeing him doing that and then lecturing him and explaining why it's not there, and then you can continue using him, and it's a character development.
So what about fucking rabbit, what's her name,
those big milky Lola. Rabbit titties
Lola Rabbit.
I think it's Lola Rabbit, right?
Yeah, because yeah. You know how sexual they made her in the first one, and now they like just made her look like a standard fucking basketball player, and they're losing their fucking minds over
her. She still has tits, they're just not as big.
They're not,
then they'll change their outfit too, like it's a loose fitting, like
probably much more comfortable for her to play basketball.
One would think, but no damn it, they need their titties.
I mean, she was sexualized in the movie, in Space Jam.
Oh, absolutely. Right?
Very much, yeah.
I mean, but a lot of it has been exaggerated over the years as the furry community has latched onto the character. And I think that a lot of her cleavage was imagined bigger than it was in the actual movie.
Well, and I haven't been able to fact check this, but the image that was used on a lot of the post about it, we're not even from Space Jam. It was from, like, some fucking porno based on Space Jam.
because Rule 34, right?
Huh? You're right.
She's a furry icon.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, so. she awakened many a people.
Oh, Jesus. There was a story that you know, this group shared regarding, it was a relationship post on Reddit where, like, her boyfriend, like, lost his fucking mind over that.
And I did not get to read that.
It was cringy to say the least. Like, this dude was, I guess, he was hardcore furry. I guess she didn't know that about him, but he was hardcore, like, pissed off about
it. You have to ease people into your kinks, okay?
I mean, I don't kink shame anybody, but let's not, you know.
Oh, I'm not, you know, discouraging furries. I have no problem with them. Every single furry I've ever met has been rather friendly.
But
it's, like, you know, to lavish over a cartoon character's redesign to, you know, make them seem at least not as sexualized and just be a nerd rager.
You're still going to have the porn online. Maybe it'll bring a new renaissance of Lola porn online, and they should be looking forward to that.
I mean, there's porn based on, like, Marge Simpson. So,
in almost every Pixar mom character.
They need to tone down how sexy she's been in the TV show, right?
I've never seen Marge is Sexy, but I've definitely seen some ads on some sites.
Yeah.
So. So, the first story I think I wanted to cover this week is, actually, Al, this is one you shared, and this is the Kentucky bill that would make it a crime to insult or taunt a police officer.
Yeah, you were just telling us a story that you would have been arrested
if
this was legal here.
Right.
So there have already been, like, four cases.
Of course, coming out, like, of Kentucky.
Yeah, but there's already been four major
Supreme
court cases, decisions. Yeah. They weren't all the Supreme Court. Okay. But there's precedents saying that this is free speech and they can't actually do it. But, you know, they're going to try. And there's other things in that bill. I'll let you read some of that.
Yeah, so this is from CNN.com. Kentucky state lawmakers have advanced a bill that would make it a crime to insult or taunt a law enforcement officer in a way that could provoke a violent response.
They just can't control themselves.
Well, and that's funny. I'll get to that. Because under the bill, a person who accosts, insults, taunts, or challenges a law enforcement officer with offensive or derisive words, or by gestures or other physical contact that would have a direct tendency to provoke the violence response in a public place would be guilty of disorderly conduct in the second degree. This offense would be classified as a Class B misdemeanor, punishable by up to 90 days in jail and fines of up to $250. So because the officers can't control themselves, and when just being yelled at and flipped off and their fifis hurt, they have to protect him from, because they can't not respond in a violent way, I guess is what this bill is. They're saying they can't trust their police to respond to words without beating the shit out of someone.
Funny that this is coming out of Kentucky, which has been one of the biggest issues of racial violence by a police force in the whole country.
Speaking of Kentucky, this, you said this week, Al, was the...
It, Breonna Taylor, the 13th, I believe, is the one-year anniversary. And this bill is in direct response to the Breonna Taylor protest. In fact, I was really entertained by the part of the article where it says, additionally, it would make anyone who knowingly provides supplies to a riot that can be used as weapons or dangerous instruments guilty of riot in the first degree.
Do you mean sue for my family?
Yeah, this is in directly about, I know some of the people involved with this, but when they decided whether or not they were going to charge the officers that day, mm-hmm. a U-Haul was brought in with goggles, shields, anything. It's personal protection. They're not doing it to break stuff. They're doing that to protect themselves from cops at the night. But yeah, shout out to my friends who got a fucking bill written about them.
That's just
kind of
fast.
So I'm going to let Sam explain. This is what Sam was talking about earlier, and this is a Democratic State Senate, Senator David Yates was among those who opposed the bill, criticizing its language and arguing that law enforcement officers should be able to resist provocation if someone happens to be yelling at them. And I'm going to quote him here. I think by us having that kind of language in here, it makes my stomach turn because I don't believe any of my good officers are going to provoke a violent response because someone does a your mama joke or whatnot. And that's basically what Sam was saying. Like, they go up there and just get in their face and just yell, fuck you, fuck the police, fuck 12. And now they're trying to make that a crime because their Fifi's hurt and they don't want them to, you know... I don't understand how
job.
It's all about, like I've said, it's testing that boundary. Like, how much fascism are we allowed to push into? Like, take away every right you can, where you can't even say fuck you to a cop without them having a cause to push it over. This is fascist overreach 101. Just push the boundary a little more, using the riots as an excuse. Everything's a crime.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think that they are slowly chipping away at what they can and slowly knocking away and moving the goalposts to make these things crimes. I mean, this one's obviously going to be struck down, I think, or I would hope so.
I have the court rulings pulled up here. So in 1987, the Supreme Court ruled the First Amendment protects a significant amount of verbal criticism and challenge directed at police officers. So they can, it can go to the Supreme Court, and then they'd have to define what a significant amount of verbal criticism. But this, in 1987, the Supreme Court already ruled
it. This is a way different Supreme Court, and I know we're not going to mm-hmm. get too much into legality, but with a 6-3, you know, majority of the hard right, like, we don't know what they're going to do.
Well, but that's why we can't rely on the Supreme Court for anything anymore. They've been compromised at this point.
In 2013, the Court of Appeals for the Second District ruled flipping off a cop isn't grounds to stop or arrest somebody. And then in 2019, the Federal Court of Appeals in the Sixth District ruled in favor of a woman after a cop increased the severity of her traffic ticket because she flipped him off. And then again in 2019, the Federal Court of Appeals for the Eighth District ruled in favor of a man who was arrested after shouting obscenities at a cop.
So the main thing about fascism is who is allowed to do the violence, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So there's nothing that says that citizens would be held to this same thing. Like, they're not going to make a law where you can't flick off another citizen or tell another citizen, fuck you, and the law happened. This is only against authority figures. This is also not against them doing it to you.
Yeah. Well, in the 1987 one, when I was reading up on that, I found it interesting because it did say that law does not include like towns where there are already like obscenity laws, which I would think obscenity laws to begin with. Like, why have those not been taken to the Supreme Court? Because it's a violation of free speech. But apparently in some towns in America, actually Dahlonega, Georgia, I know from going to a protest there, you can't cuss. I'm sure flipping somebody off would be seen as an obscene gesture. And
so these towns
they could
just try to stay as backwards as possible, mm-hmm. so anybody will just fucking leave. So, like, the 100 people that live there could just, like, sit there with their thumb up their ass their whole lives.
Yeah, a cop threatened to arrest me when I went to Delonica because I said, fuck. Oh. And he's like, it's against the law here. I think my comeback was, I'm like, I'd get a lawyer and take it all the way to the Supreme Court if I had to. I think it needs to be. I think somebody does. So I wouldn't have been complaining if I got arrested because I would have fought it.
Yeah, they just want more and more excuses to do shit to you. That's, you know.
And get away with it.
Yeah, that's what drug laws are all for. Fabricating excuses to fuck with citizens. Go ahead.
Okay, so I think this is a good time to go ahead and segue into our ACAB of the week. And Al, you shared a video. Describe that video and what happened, and then I will kind of read San Diego's response and how they defended it.
So in the video, they're pulling out, I believe, a Hispanic man out of the vehicle, and they have the gun on him and everything.
Two guns. Yeah.
And then, so they get him to back up, hands up, and get him in position. He's telling them that his son is in the car. And the guy gets on his radio and he's like, you know, we got another person, you got to get out of the car. It's a juvenile. So he's aware immediately that this kid is under the age of 18. He immediately takes his gun and points it where that kid's going to be coming out of the vehicle. And then I'll let you take over from now.
Right. Okay. So there are bystanders that had shots of this because, you know, always record the police in public is our stance. And this video, this image started circulating, and then San Diego PD, you know, released body cam footage saying, well, that's not what happened. So they're saying this image has been circulating showing that one of our officers, you know, pointing a gun at a juvenile. Our body cam footage shows that does not happen. Except if you watch the video, like, as soon as the child, who's, what, 8 years old, gets out of the vehicle, the gun is immediately trained on him.
You can see in the video, and I want to clarify, this is the cop's body cam footage. This isn't the bystander's video that I watch. It's the cop's video that shows him pointing the gun. You can hear the dad, when the kid gets out of the car, he's like, hey, can you get the gun off my son? He's like, he's 8 years old.
Right. And so the gun was trained on him, and then, you know, as the child is slowly, you know, coming towards the officers, he does slowly move the gun away, but it's still kind of towards him, and
he moves away the gun away after the father asked him to.
I'm going
to
play devil's advocate for a minute.
Go ahead.
You know, that toddler could have had a gun, okay? They are trained that everyone has guns. It's America. That eight-year-old's definitely got a gun. You have to be careful because if you don't, that's how you die.
And so
what their training tells them.
And so another thing I picked up when I watched this video is that there's someone in the background behind the child who's kind of walking, and they yell at that person to get out of the way. Like, what are you going to fucking do? Shoot at the kid?
Right.
Like, why is this person behind them in danger?
I missed that detail. But you see, yeah.
I watched the video twice.
That just shows that he knows his gun safety. You make sure there's nothing behind the target. You have your target. You keep your eyes on the target.
Did you see the guy who, the person with him?
I want to know what his, how his trigger, where his trigger finger was. Like, how prepared was he?
This guy was just casually walking by as these two cops have, and just on the sidewalk, just 3 feet away from this. He's just casually walking by as these cops have these guns trained on this vehicle.
And that would be me and Angel.
They say nothing to that person, but then there's someone like in a house coming out of their house on the driveway, and they're like, get out of the way. No, the other way. I'm like, they're behind the child. Like, surely they're only in danger if you fire at the child.
They have a dangerous 8-year-old on their hands. They see this every day, okay? You don't know how many times an 8-year-old takes a shot at them. They've seen this before. You don't know the life. That's what it's like every day for them.
But it's so funny that they released this video to defend themselves when, like, there was another meme that captured their defense with a side-by-side of the gun being trained on the 8-year-old as they exit the vehicle.
From the police body cam.
From the police body cam.
So.
And I do want to point out that the whole, so I want to read the facts of this because it's kind of sketch as well. So it was on Tuesday, March 9th at 12:50. A motorcycle officer saw a vehicle traveling in excess of 70 miles an hour in a 40-mile-an-hour zone. This is on Park Boulevard. They attempted to conduct a traffic stop by turning on the emergency lights and siren, but the vehicle did not stop. Officer called for immediate assistance, believing the driver was trying to evade them. The vehicle stopped at Park Boulevard and Upas Street, and a high-risk vehicle stop was initiated. They don't really mention, like, how far or how long they had to chase the vehicle to make us believe that the vehicle was even evading them, because if they stop on, I mean, I don't know how long Park Boulevard is, but that would be something I would include if I was defending a high risk stop in the first place.
Right.
I would include how long and how much this person had attempted to evade arrest to make it even so that there has to be two guns trained on. And the guy was listening and obeying the commands to a T, very calmly, backing up. Like, there was no, I didn't see any risk in this whatsoever.
Do you remember the kid this past summer in Nashville who stole a school bus and went joyriding?
That was hilarious. Did you see like the entire platoon? I thought there was like 60 cop cars chasing this thing. Like,
good time to rob a bank.
Did you see the video of how many cop cars were chasing this bus?
It was ridiculous. He was that kid was having a day of his life. But all the articles for that did include how far the police chased this bus with this. I think he was like an 8-10. He was really young. I don't think he was a teenager yet. Who stole the
bus. Surprised they didn't shoot him.
Yeah, that was afterwards. That was my response. Is at least the kid lived.
Listeners, do yourselves a favor and look up this video, and if you can find it where the kid apprehends the bus, and see how many of these police officers are in vehicles chasing this guy. It is absurdly long a train of cars for this one individual. Dude, watch it. Just go.
He was flipping off cops on his way.
GTA. He had five. That was a 5-star one level.
When the police finally caught him and asked why he did it, he's like, "I was bored." He's like, "Why not?"
Because what else do you do? Yeah. What else do you do when you're bored? Just
that
hijack
kid's
going to
be a legend.
Kid's
already
a legend.
He already is a legend.
He's my goddamn hero. That's hilarious. So, do you guys want to pick on Tennessee or Texas first? Because we've been shitting on Texas, so I think I'm almost going to introduce the Texas segment called "This Week in Texas." But Tennessee is also doing some dumb shit, so I'll let you guys take a pick.
Tennessee
Sam.
Is doing some dumb shit, but they did some good shit too.
They did do some good shit. So we'll push them to the end. Okay. Let's go ahead and do. Let's go and shit on Texas because Texas is still trying to kill their people.
Let's pretend another place is worse than here.
Let's go ahead. There we go.
Let's hope.
All right. So
we always like to think we're better than Texas and Louisiana here.
The first thing I want to talk about is of course, we talked about last week how they lifted the mask mandate. And there was a tweet that someone put out. It was a satirical tweet that's hilarious as shit. And it said, "Unfortunately, after the storm, some Texans were left alive. I have taken swift action to correct that."
Yeah. Yeah, Texas really is trying to kill as many poor people as they possibly can.
Yeah, that's what it seems like.
And let's expand on that because the Texas Attorney General, Ken Paxton, this is on NBC.
Hey, poor people, fight back.
Threatened Wednesday to sue the city of Austin and surrounding Travis County after officials there, citing the continued threat of COVID-19, said they would continue to require residents to wear masks even when outside of their residence. So he tweets, "City/county leaders must not be thinking clearly. Maybe it's oxygen deprivation from quintuple masking. Whatever the case, they've tried this before. They lost. Travis County and Austin have a few hours to comply with state law, or I'll sue them." So they're wanting to keep the mask mandate because they know the science and the data. They know the science and the data.
I mean, yeah, let's fill our out-of-state listeners in. Tennessee's kind of similar. Like, we're a bunch of idiots here.
I'm waiting for
it. I mean, the mask mandates have been on and off this entire time.
I'm waiting for Bill Lee to come out and say it's they're done over.
Have they been? I mean, like, it hasn't done much. Like, if a place doesn't want to have masks, it doesn't matter in Tennessee.
It doesn't.
Like, so basically, if you're halfway smart, you've just been, like, avoiding things.
You know, I don't think that's a Tennessee thing. I think that's actually a U.S. thing. I think issue is happening all over the country.
Tennessee
right now.
U.S. is the worst country in the world when it comes to COVID.
Period.
But Tennessee is also one of the worst states when it comes to COVID. And then Knoxville is one of the worst cities when it comes to COVID.
And we were chart-topping for a long time during the October, November months.
I lost all my hope for my neighbors during that time.
So they extended.
Hi, I'm Sam. I have no hope anymore.
So the Austin mayor extended their mask policy up until at least April 15th. And Greg Abbott defended his position saying that, we're getting vaccinated. Vaccines are rolled out. I like to pick on you, Sam, because you don't read the articles, so I get to make you guess. what percent of Texans are vaccinated as we speak?
Under 20.
8.5%.
I was going to guess 10.
8.5% of Texas. And he's like, nah, open it up 100%. And the stadium, the Rangers Stadium, will soon be going to 100% capacity. in the very first stadium in the U.S. to do so. So Texas, same as you said it last time, well, Texas is trying to kill you.
Well,
so,
you know, it's also like, as I've said about here, it's the type of people that are willing to go out too. Like, if you are an intelligent person, you know that it's not safe to go to the stadium that day.
Right. And I would avoid that, especially knowing that the 100% capacity because, yeah, you know, and so here's the thing. They have to wear masks.
Just as in Tennessee, we've known that we've had some, during a couple months ago, we were the highest part in the entire world, highest percentage of COVID.
Like per capita. Yeah,
per capita in the entire world there for a bit. And like, we all just kept our heads down. That's kind of what you got to do. While your state's being a dumb piece of shit, your only defense is to keep your fucking head down.
The type of people that aren't putting their head down, there's still clubs
open in Tennessee. They're like full clubs open. Like, no one's wearing a mask in there. There's no mask. I mean, like, the mask mandates don't mean shit in Knoxville.
Yeah, well,
like, they can act like, Texas was probably doing the same. It doesn't matter if there's a mandate or not. They weren't doing shit. I can tell you right now, there's places in Knoxville packed to the brim full of people without a mask. It doesn't matter if you have a mandate or not.
I'm going to say, when our numbers skyrocketed, I remember I saw Sam just before Thanksgiving, because our numbers skyrocketed right after that. But, like, we were outside and doing things responsibly. And then... I'm not sure I saw many people at all for a couple of months.
That's probably right after I had it, though, so I was in the clear then.
Yeah,
but catch it.
I mentioned I'm maybe getting the vaccine next week, but I still, like, the fucking gun expo here, you may have been around for part of that, Dustin. Did you drive by the expo center for
and
that?
How full it was? Yes.
The big, huge parking lot, it's full around the building. Cars, like, leaking out on the streets. I can be vaccinated. I'm still not going to shit like that. You still will not see me in overly crowded places.
I mean, it's changed where I go to. Like, we were talking the other week. Like, you just know some places are not safe to go to.
Right.
Because of the type of people that go there.
Well, it's like downtown as much as
I don't go to downtown. I haven't been.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
I miss mimosas on the patio, so what I'm going to do is start coming over to Dustin's on Sunday afternoons, and we're going to have mimosas in the backyard.
I like it. So I want to keep going on how Texas is actively trying to kill their people. You know, while the smart ones will tend to avoid that, they're still making it easier for the dumb ones to kill themselves. And so I mentioned the 100% capacity at the Ranger Stadium. They require them, and that's in air quotes for you guys not in the studio, that they wear masks unless they are eating or drinking, which they'll possibly
have
a beer.
Everyone is. Yeah.
Right. And then there's also a 3 strikes rule before they're penalized for noncompliance.
I'm sure they don't have another thing is the nose.
Oh, they probably wouldn't enforce that at all.
The hanging nose rule. No one gives a shit.
Mm-mm. I've never been to a ball game without a beer in my hand the whole time.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's just the thing, too, of these, like, the bars that are packed. But, oh, but they have mask mandates. It's okay. But everyone has a drink in their hand. So
they're drinking, too.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it doesn't matter. Mask mandate or not, I don't think it's going to change their lives much, you know? The same people who are going to go to that stadium probably haven't been following this mandate the entire time.
I think
it was Granny's time to go. She caught the COVID and she died. Survival of the fittest is what Texas says.
I do think that it is going to increase the people who don't wear a mask because there are people out there who, if it's a rule, they will follow it, even if they don't agree with it. I don't understand those people.
Fascist by association is what we call these people.
Yeah.
So in our second Texas story, and this is the most ironic pro-life bill I've ever read, and it's not the first one, but the GOP Texas lawmaker introduces bill to allow death penalty for women who have abortions. This is from thehill.com. Republican lawmaker Representative Brian Slayton filed HB House Bill 3326 to abolish abortions in Texas, and I'm going to quote him around his tweet. The bill will end the discriminatory practice of terminating the life of innocent children and will guarantee the equal protection of laws to all Texans, no matter how small. And what it does is that any, so under HB 3326, a person who has an abortion or performs an abortion could be charged with assault or homicide, which is punishable by death, the Texas Tribune reported. Isn't that fucking ironic?
Not really. I'm going to
say, I mean, in a pro-life stat, if, I mean, you can't say you're
exactly.
pro-life.
Exactly. Well, I'm going to explain what we need, what we need to do as leftists about the even the wordage. Wording is important. And they've always controlled the conversation by calling themselves pro-life.
That's why I don't call them pro-life.
Exactly. You don't call them pro-life. I have a term. Do you have a term you use for
them? I call them anti-abortion.
Oh, no. I call them forced birth extremists.
Because that's after the child's born, they don't give a shit about it. They're certainly not supporting, you
I
know,
mean, anti-abortion,
poverty that, bills.
If they're going to play the same game, what they really are is forced birth extremists.
The thing
they want to force someone to have birth that doesn't want it.
I never realized I did it until somebody else called me out. But I like just
yeah, don't
the
play
word
their games.
Pro-life.
Never,
I call
never
people
use that
as
term.
I see them. They're not pro-life.
Yeah, don't
so
use that term. That's playing
that?
By their games. So from now on, Dustin, anytime you're bringing this, say the force birth extremists are putting forward a bill.
Understood. All right. So let me
don't let them control the conversation, because when you call them pro-life, that automatically makes the other side pro-death.
They've been
controlling the conversation by using these words for decades, and I'm not going to have it anymore.
So this isn't the first time, but the bill would ban abortions.
I'm going to call you out on it from now on.
All right.
If you use that.
Understood. That's probably the only time. I only wanted to say it because I thought it was ironic that they claim that term.
That is the point. They've never been pro-life. It's never been about life.
Right.
A lot of people are so confused by the abortion thing. It makes a whole lot more sense when you do understand that it's never been about that. Right. It's always been about controlling women. And when you look through that lens of how is this bill going to allow them to control women better, everything makes more sense.
But I also wanted to mention, Sam, that it also bans abortions at fertilization, whereas most abortions in Texas are prohibited at 20 weeks. And it's not the first time they've done this. It was a similar measure in 2019 where they classified abortions as homicide. I mean, this is obviously going to be struck down, but what they're doing is testing the waters.
Exactly.
Like you said before, because we know that with a 6-3 majority, they're putting through as many of these abortion bills and abortion bans as possible to make something stick, to get to the lower courts and the lower district courts that would support it, especially in the Louisiana area. And then they're just hoping for the Supreme Court to take it up.
If the Supreme Court flips that, I support this entire country burning until that goes away. There's no excuse for allowing that to happen and making aw shucks, what are we going to do now? The Supreme Court is allowing this to happen. Like, no.
So are there stipulations on that one if a woman travels out of state?
You mentioned that last time, but as of right now,
I think it was the Georgia or Alabama bill a while back that specified women traveling out of state could be charged.
Yeah, nothing mentioned on that
here. They're trying their hardest to control their women. You know, feminism has taken over and they need to do something about it.
Yeah, and they're among one of many states who are introducing legislation, you know, on the basis that this new 6-3 majority will overturn Roe v. Wade, and they're preparing their state for that. And you know, those deep red states, you know, it's going to happen there. But and I'm hoping the lower states turn it down. I don't know what's going to happen with this one. It's probably going to get shot down.
Well,
just
we
like
may
the last
be
time.
In for a fight.
Yeah, but I guess we can then move on to Tennessee. Let's do some bad shit, some good shit. So what is the good thing that just happened in Tennessee?
The Nathan Bedford Forrest monument's coming down, or the bust that's in the Capitol building.
Keep expecting there to be some kind of stipulation or there's, some comeback. They're removing it, right?
Well, it got voted on for it to be removed, and that was like supposed to be the final step. There is one Republican lawmaker who has taken it to an attorney because he doesn't feel like the legal steps have been taken for it. So he thinks that the removal would actually be illegal. So it's already being challenged by Republicans, but this has been a long process. We've been asking for years and years and years for this bust to be removed. There's pictures of fucking Klansmen dressed up in their robes next to this bust.
This very same bust.
Right. So for those who don't know, Nathan Bedford Forrest is like the father of the KKK.
Who has been in our state capitol Let's emphasize that.
Yeah.
Our capital, our state Republican capital, is showing you who their heroes are.
And they're fighting it. They do not want it to. I'm surprised.
They have been fighting it for
Lee
years.
Bill Lee actually led this.
Showing their true colors. One,
which is weird. I wouldn't have expected that from Bill Lee, but he was.
I expect anything from him.
No, he's led removing it.
Oh, well, I remember.
It was he actually made it one of his goals to move it. Now they're not destroying it; they're moving it to a museum. But that's all that we've ever really asked is that these monuments and busts be moved to museums if they're for history.
Right, because when they
is
have it,
is it going to be a wing of the museum called "Racist Pieces of Shit"?
No,
there
not
needs
at all.
To be
not in Disney. But you know, to have it in our represented in our state Capitol building as a national hero is what they've done for years, and happily, and despite all the outcry from the citizens and the constituents of this state, and to find—I know I thought it happened in 2017 or 2018. I thought, but apparently, it was just never made it through because never made it through the vote.
There's been so many attempts over the years to remove it, and this is—it's gone farther than it's ever been.
We just have to understand this is where Tennessee is. This is where the people that lead us and the people that vote are.
And we already know that.
I'd wish when you had mentioned that they were doing that I had went to our local news and went to the comments just to
see
the outrage.
Oh, that's a fantastic place to get hope for our fellow citizens.
Because, you know, they called us snowflakes for years, and I just wanted to go and see their conservative tears flowing.
A nuanced opinion, you said.
It is not a good place to get hope, but it is a fantastic place to troll.
And that's kind of where I go with that. But then that's my goal every time. My goal is, okay, I'm going to go here and troll. But after like 5 minutes of reading comments, I have to nope out because I'm like, Jesus, fuck these people. I can't.
You know, for as much as I troll, I don't think people understand that, like, I have to have breaks from these people, too. Like, there's times last week I didn't read the articles we were discussing, and it's because I needed that mental breakdown. Like, I know the gist of the stuff, but I need kind of a mental break sometimes because the kid even got on to me one day. They're like, you can't just read news 24/7. You need to take a break.
That's something I thought about because I wasn't always this into politics and, you know, legislation and where things are going with the country. And I think I was happier back then. You know, I mean, ignorance is bliss, huh? It really is, but I know I need to be informed because we need to be able to band together and stop some of the shit they're doing. But goddamn it, if I wasn't happier not knowing some of the bullshit that goes on.
I don't know if I was happier beforehand. I feel like there are definitely moments that I feel a lot of rage with what's going on in the world. But at the same time, that rage has connected me with great people who allow me to laugh and, you know, find outlets for dealing with that rage that kind of help. So.
Speaking of rage, you sent there was an article that was sent today that I read. This is going to be our last story. But I read it in a branch, and I burst out of the office just ranting about it. It was just shit like that. Like, I'm going to rant later when I get to it, but I have definitely angered myself reading the news and even more so in the comments, but I always have to go to the comments. I just can't not sometimes. I'm like, I just want to see, like, what are the masses saying?
What's Joe Smo say about
this? Yeah, but the problem is that we're in fucking Tennessee, so 80% of the comments in there, like we discussed before, at least, are going to be, you know, the loudest fucking Republicans and conservatives in there voicing their opinions, you know, pro this or anti that, and it is kind of frustrating, but
I think the time that I paid most attention to the news was right after Obama got in, and that's when the Tea Party was starting to form, and that's when I was really starting to pay attention to, like, their rhetoric, and I did have to walk away from it for a bit. Like, that was the beginning. I think Sarah Palin was the beginning of all this. That was the first crack in the dam. She was the first one that was like, Republicans can be idiots. It doesn't matter.
Oh, you're
right.
Yeah. She was out loud.
I was openly idiots is a better way of putting that.
They didn't have to act like they were sophisticated anymore after Sarah Palin. They could say it how they mean it.
And then, of course, Trump took that to a whole new level.
Oh, Jesus.
And Sarah Palin, there wouldn't have been a Trump.
So it's
funny how McCain, like, what his legacy is going to be, because when he died, he hated to see what the GOP turned into, and he's one of the main ones that led them down that road.
So you had mentioned something, you know, you mentioned, you know, how Trump broadcasts his stupidity, and we've seen his speeches or his attempts at speeches and his verbal gaffes and how he fucks up and can't pronounce words and forgets things.
He's a man of the people.
And now that Biden has, you know, he'll have the occasional slip up. I know he has a stutter, a natural stutter, I believe. And now they're all the right saying, oh, well, he's what?
Dementia.
Dementia? Yeah, you're right.
Oh, yeah, that's been their thing.
That's been their thing, is that he has dementia, and he's just, of course, Fox News.
Even though Trump has shown clear signs of cognitive decline over the years.
Oh, absolutely.
They don't care, because he's just like them. He's saying what they want to say.
Okay, so after our first positive story, we do have some shitty stories out of Tennessee. For the third time in a row, Tennessee is trying to make the Holy Bible the official state book of Tennessee.
What is the current state book?
Do we even have a current state book? I don't know if we do or not. But all I know is this is their third time they attempted it. They attempted it. It was the same representative, Representative Jerry Sexton, introduced it in 2016 that the former governor Bill Haslam vetoed, basically saying that this is obviously a violation of, you know, church and state rights and their separation. And then it failed in 2020 because it just didn't pass legislation. But now it's advancing. It's now officially on the schedule in a few days from now. And while it's not just a clear violation of, I think, of, you know, the government promoting one religion over another, which Bible are they going to put up there?
That's a big thing with that.
I mean, because they're going to piss off a lot of people regardless of which one they put up, because
no,
it's not my Bible.
So they actually won't. I tested this. It was the last time this bill came up. I got together with some friends, and we started discussing ways to object this. And one of them is what we came up with is getting certain Christians up in arms over this because it's not their version of the Bible. So we started contacting Catholic churches and other other denominations that use like a non-standard version
to get them
of the
to
book.
Voice opposition to the bill.
Yeah, and the responses I got were, well, it just says the Holy Bible. It doesn't specify a version. So we think we're safe. It was such a disappointment.
But, I mean, it's still a clear, you know, it's still the government clearly supporting one religion over a non-religion or B, any other religion. And they happily, you know, it's happily put forward unconstitutional bills. But I don't know what this legislation will do this year regarding that, because it's now officially on the schedule. I checked the docket today.
It's one of those things. I'm sure FFRF, Freedom From Religion Foundation, is keeping their eye on.
ACLU as well is on it. They had voiced hard opposition to it in April of 2016 as well, before it died in June of 2016. But what do we think? But it got all the way to Bill Lee. So Bill Haslam. But what will Bill Lee do?
Bad bills.
I can
put
tell
in
you.
Forward bad bills.
I can tell you, FFRF, because I sit on our local board, I know we're watching this.
Okay.
And I know FFRF would be ready to take action immediately. I would expect the first thing would be to put a stop to it. So it's not an official state book until it goes through court.
So I actually read the text of the bill because I'm a nerd. And one of the things they're doing, his defense of is that they didn't really have registries back then. So that's how they kept family history and...
That boring chapter?
who begat who?
Yeah.
It's your boring book.
The best part.
No, so they would say that they didn't really have registries or, you know, other ways to document, you know, family, so they would write their notes in the Bible and pass those down, so it's a generational thing for Tennessee.
I have a family Bible that I actually enjoy and glad that I have, but that doesn't mean that it should be a state book.
Well, no other state has an official state book.
Oh, really? Okay.
Is that
so
a real
there's
thing?
No state book before.
I don't think there's any states with an official state book.
You're
going
to make me have
specifically...
to issue a retraction next week, so...
Well, I mean, yeah, you would think that they would try to figure out a Tennessee author that they could promote.
You would think so, you know.
But you know, God is also the author of the whole world, and He made Tennessee too.
So they use several religious examples for other state items, like why we chose a state flower.
Are they trying to get it before they're like, you know, every single state can't have the Bible as their state book? You know,
are they
trying
to be the
first? Share other ones? We need to get it before another state gets it first.
Oh,
so Mississippi has already tried. This article makes it seem like another state has tried. Louisiana.
That was going to be my guess, because if you talk about shitty legislation,
yeah.
Louisiana.
So, go to Louisiana,
Louisiana
Mississippi first.
And Mississippi
We're sorry,
both
Louisiana.
Tried
move.
To make it
move.
An official move. Book first, and it didn't pass. So Tennessee is on, what, second?
Third.
Third.
Well, I want to say three, technically. The first one was vetoed. The second one, the session ended before it could advance. That's the only reason it didn't go through. And now this is the third attempt. But
it's really just a declaration to make. I mean, yeah, it's a declaration to make other people feel uncomfortable when you're not a Christian. That's all these things are about.
When you look up official state books, there's no, like, Wikipedia page that pops up with
if you have
state
birds,
books.
It's just
like
right
they, okay, let me do official state bird.
Yeah, if you do state birds, you
state
can find,
you'll get
like,
some.
Right down.
I mean, I know what the state bird of Indiana was.
Is the
I lived
state
there.
Bird of Tennessee the Jesus bird?
Yeah, like, there's plenty of stuff on that. But when you look up the official or official state book, the only thing that comes up is Tennessee's bill.
I mean,
I'm pretty sure no other
state. I think no matter what you do, state book is going to be something people are going to argue about. Even if you were like, here's a Tennessee author that wrote this interesting book, there's no book that everyone's going to agree is like, you know, if a
book
is actually good, it's going to be like kind of subversive in its material if it's actually good, right?
Well, official like state birds, state flowers are things that are
we have a
indigenous,
state insect, by the way,
to
what
that,
is that
area.
Is the ladybug, I think?
Well, you know, my aunt's house was once invaded by ladybugs. So,
so why? Who glorifies that? They're fucking invasive.
Everyone thinks they're cute until you can't open a drawer without them falling out.
No, I'm okay with that.
You want to be in, you say that now.
The only problem I have with ladybugs is that, you know, I can't always immediately tell between the Japanese beetle
which
and,
bites.
Yeah, and the ladybug. So I'm just like, I kind of like, you stay over there, ladybug, because I don't know what you are just yet.
They're different colors-ish, or their spots are reversed, aren't they?
I'm not sure.
There's some like clear way of.
There
of
probably is. I'm just an idiot, and probably I'm probably just misremembering something, or just thinking I read something. But
they do look similar. But I think the Japanese beetles are more of a yellowish color,
probably,
or they're black with red spots. It's one of those.
Yeah. And moving on to our final story regarding Tennessee legislation. This one got me super pissed off. Tennessee Republicans want to you know, go ahead and get your pre-rant sigh out, Sam. Tennessee Republicans want to permanently block recreational marijuana through state constitution.
This bullshit. I didn't know
this
where
bullshit.
This was going.
Yeah, yeah. I want to do this one because of the fuckery in here, because they were actually kind of clever in what they did, and why, that's what pisses me off about it. Representative Brandon Ogles of Franklin received approval in the House Criminal Justice Subcommittee for House Joint Resolution 140, which would amend the state constitution to prohibit future general assemblies from permitting recreational drug use. So they want to make an official entry into the constitution that would not just ban, but prevent a future lawmaker from saying that recreational marijuana is legalized. But they kind of attach some shit to it. The potential constitutional amendment would also prevent the state legislation from ever legalizing rape, human trafficking, or prostitution without making another change to the founding document. And I was sitting there, and I was like, well, that's some fucking dumb shit, because who would ever legalize rape? Who would ever legalize human trafficking? And then I remembered that in order to make any constitutional amendment, it has to be presented to the voters on a gubernatorial vote. The next one would be in 2026. And so how they're going to market this is that if you vote no on this amendment whatever whatever amendment number it is, then you are saying it's okay to legalize rape. It's okay to legalize human trafficking. They're going to piggyback off those keywords to push back the legalizing of marijuana in the end.
And it's not only, clearly, it's not only an anti-recreational use bill. It's anti-sex workers.
I was going to mention that, too. I was going to put that towards the end, but since you talked about it, I didn't want to mention the prostitution thing because we're all pretty sex positive here, and I support, I think we all generally support sex, you know, sex workers.
And consensual sex workers, right. Which I know a lot of people who are sex workers who do it because they enjoy that kind of work.
Right, and there's obviously a fucking market for it. I don't get the irony. I know we're often. I'm going to get back to this, Bill, but I want to go back. I want to go off the tangent here because the irony of all the people that are against sex work, but the fucking market is dominated by men, clearly, and they're the male lawmakers, and they're the ones that I don't get it. I don't understand the stigma behind that when men are the majority.
It's the exact same thing we were talking about earlier about. Abortion. Once you understand it through the lens of controlling women's bodies, you understand it a lot more. They want to have access to it, but they want to be able to control it.
When is
and it's the upper class will always have access to sex workers. It doesn't matter how illegal.
So it's actually a very lengthy process. I'm going to scroll to the end of the article here to cover that.
I mean, the government or governmental whatever vote from the people.
Oh, that would be in 2026. So. It's a very lengthy process. It would take several years, so it would need to be taken up again by legislators in the 2023 or 2024 session if it passes this session. If it passes the legislature a second time by a two-thirds majority in each chamber, the amendment could then get put on a statewide ballot for the next gubernatorial election, which would be in 2026. So we have the final say, but I know how this shit is going to be marketed. It's exactly what they're going to push the evangelical vote by pushing forward the anti. I mean, no fucking lawmaker
Proud
is going
Boys
to.
Proud Boys and everybody else loves pot, though. It needs. I'm glad that article was pushed out. Promoting the pot part of it, the anti-pot part of it.
Yeah, that's easier than because, trying to defend sex work.
Yeah, sex workers, the rape, but I can't have a hard time like believing that even some Republicans who really enjoy their pot and who have been waiting and
especially
waiting
and waiting.
The libertarians, really. That's who this is about. The libertarians.
Tennessee is also very libertarian. But like I said, the main thing about this, too, of why pot's even in there, one thing that everyone needs to understand about Tennessee is we are run by a drug cartel. Most of our politicians, Blackburn, even this guy, I posted an article earlier about this guy that pushed this through. Who's his number one backer?
This is Brandon Ogles. I know very little about him.
One of his major backers is a major pharmaceutical company. Like, our Tennessee is 100% run by a drug cartel. The pharmaceutical opioid drug cartel is a legalized cartel that runs this fucking state.
But what you guys
and
are,
that's the main reason why they want to legal. They want to cut down marijuana legalization.
I think you're still missing my point. They're not going to market it on the drugs. That's going to be pushed to the back because we already know that there's no lawmaker that's going to legalize rape. That's going to legalize human trafficking.
Well,
it doesn't
matter there,
how they're pushing it because the Tennessee is already pushing it as Tennessean is already pushing it as anti-marijuana. The headline of that article isn't about rape or sex work or anything else. It's about pot. As long as the Tennessean and other articles or other sources are focusing on that pot in the headlines,
wait for the billboards.
The libertarians.
Mm-mm. I'm saying wait for the billboards that are going to come up. Wait for the billboards and the yard signs that are going to come up for a
minute. It's not going to get the libertarians. Libertarians, I don't think they're going to be down for that anti-pot. They're all
Tennessee's
about their
a very
weed.
Libertarian
I'm just really
the
only, so it just really pissed me off on how they did this. That was very intentional on why they did this bill and why they ended the.
I think
limit.
The libertarians will be okay with the sex work part either
you don't
because
think so?
Especially like
libertarians are usually sexist men. I don't think they. I mean, I don't know. That's one of their problems with the Libertarian Party is they're like, how can I hate women and be okay with sex work at the same time? The market will decide.
That the libertarians are most known for. It's legalize weed and let us fuck people under age 18.
Oh, is that what you're known for?
I'm just saying, I'm just going to defend my point that it's no it was not accidental. It was by design. To include those two
it
things
was.
That would never ever be legalized in any fucking instance. But it was by design, so they have a billboard they can put up.
It's definitely by design. It's definitely an attempt to
distract.
Sway. Yeah, but I don't think it's going to work this time. because of the libertarians. Well, because there's, and I, you know, I've known too many fucking Republicans who smoke pot too. Pot is not a left or right thing. It's not.
No.
The people on both sides thoroughly enjoy weed. I didn't realize. Well, I guess I did a while back that we're getting it for medical use. I guess that happened like probably last year or the year before. It made me
no.
Because
so
I let missed
me,
it.
So on the article, he's saying that they don't want to begin to introduce medical use until they get rid of the slippery slope of mm-hmm. recreational. So that's the whole point of this. They're saying, well, if we pass this, then we'll have a gateway to doing.
Yeah, that's
because
the way they're trying to
they
sell
said
it.
There's in no instance are we going to allow recreational marijuana use in this state. And so they said, we may consider once we remove this slippery slope that it can lead to. So if we can amend this constitution, then we can do with some neighboring states do that do allow. Medicinal use of marijuana.
It's already passed the medical a couple of years ago, but there is a holdup on it, and it
I
may
mean, it's
be
not
that.
Gonna pass. Exactly, our that shit will never pass because our state is run by drug lords, Blackburn especially.
Blackburn's a piece of shit.
Yeah, Blackburn's one of the biggest piece of shits in the country, and if you voted for her, then.
You're a piece of
shit
too.
I think we're all in agreement.
Cheeks.
But let's also bring up how hilarious it is that they try to attach the evangelicals with anti-sex trafficking, because every time they catch sex traffickers, they're always attached to some evangelical church.
Oh, you're right.
This one just came out. Well, we've been recording. Breaking. Dems begin impeachment process against Governor Cuomo.
Really? Again, like I said, Democrats, the left, but they hold their own accountable.
Mm-hmm.
And what, there have been, what, six accusers now for Cuomo at this point?
Yeah.
At least?
I'm authorizing the Assembly Judiciary Committee to begin an impeachment investigation led by Chair Charles D. Levine to examine allegations of misconduct against Governor Cuomo. That's the New York State Assembly Speaker Carl Heastie.
Yeah, it's been, I know it's been kind of quiet in, not really quiet, actually, all the media that I've been have been covering this, but I guess there hasn't been the outrage because, you know, people are coming out to call for either his resignation or for him to address these claims, whereas if it was GOP and what does happen and has happened with the GOP, they sweep it under the rug and ignore those allegations.
They just basically shrug, and that's what happened with Trump. They said, I don't care who... Who cares?
Right, and that's a clear difference between the parties. Now, you guys mentioned in the past that they're, you know, they're, both parties are shitty and they're very, very alike. But there's several instances where the parties are very much not alike and where accountability is held. And this is just another instance.
I mean, I don't
of that.
Say that the parties are alike.
They are alike when it comes
alike
to
in
many
the fact
issues.
That
when it comes to catering to corporations, they're the same. When it comes to imperialism and going into other countries, they're because, exactly the same.
Yeah.
When it comes
we bombed countries,
to
yeah.
human rights in our own country, Democrats are a little bit better because they at least pretend to care about the marginalized groups. And I say pretend to care because Obama was still about the pipeline through indigenous land. You know, so there's still issues. They're still not fully addressing issues that we've been screaming about on the Democrat side. But they are
You're not
doing,
going to reach those issues suddenly through politics.
Right.
Like,
they're, you know, it was Democrats who gave us LGBT the right to marry. So there are some things that are better. But when you look at the whole picture, I don't feel that those differences don't, you know, they're not big enough for me to say these two groups are different.
That's because
well,
it's
will,
all America.
Well, like, I will say to kind of counter that just a little bit. I mean, we did mention earlier that the COVID relief bill was just signed by Biden, and not a single Republican House member or
yeah,
senator
exactly.
signed onto it. Not a single damn one. And because it was voted along about party lines. And so there's obviously a clear difference on those who want to get the assistance to those who need it and those who didn't. Because
talk about that, though, there's this another fucking dick measuring context and or contest when it comes to Senate and the House and Republicans and senators. Because it doesn't really matter how much shit over the last 5 years have we really had much by 10 years. Has there really been much bipartisan support where it's equal?
Oh, you're right.
That's true. This has been long going where it doesn't matter what the fuck the Dems put up. Republicans are going to vote no, and vice versa.
They're fighting for complete and utter control. They don't want an actual conversation. That's why Obama's presidency was useless.
The first COVID bill was somewhat bipartisan and got passed.
They kind of had to.
Yeah, that's true.
There was no ifs, ands,
because
whats
would have,
about
they would
that.
Lost their, they would have lost their votes and, you know, during the next election.
Everybody would have. That was a dire, this has to go out now. And there was no denying it on either party.
They can blame shit on Biden now. They don't have to do shit.
I'm still happy as shit that Mitch McConnell is no longer the majority leader, because
he still
has his fucking seat, though. He still has his fucking head. That's what bothers me the most.
Fucking piece of God. Kentucky, I was so disappointed in you this year.
Anything good to come out of the people of Kentucky. I don't expect anything good out of the people of Tennessee, and I live here.
Yeah.
There's 20% of us here.
I feel bad when I hear that, because I have, like, really good friends in Kentucky, and I know they're fighting.
It's less than 20%
but
there, isn't
it? It's
like,
the same.
I have good friends here. They're 20%.
When you say, here, you know, we're fighting. We're doing everything we can to make
this
state better. We're the
20% thorn in the side.
And, there's nothing really that good coming out of Tennessee, except Nathan Bedford Forrest. That bust is finally coming down.
And to your point, every time I've sent a letter to our representatives...
That's a joke. I hate that. It was write your senator a letter they can throw it in the trash. I physically know people who have worked in the offices of these people, and they're like, they don't care.
It was an email. I don't write them a fucking letter. I write them an email, and a lot of it was from that... It's a bot that you can... It's called ResistBot, and you can kind of...
It'll
automatically send out an email regarding, you know, opposing certain legislation or anything like that. And you always get the fuck you email, because they know that they're going to get elected, you know, overwhelming the majority to people that oppose those things. It's an easy fuck you email. That's all it was. They don't care.
I think it was
automated fuck you email.
One of our school board members, my fucking like nemesis, Patty Bounds, who somebody messaged her about COVID restrictions, I believe, or COVID practices in the school. And her response was, thank you for your email. I disagree.
That was it.
Like,
not even effort to bullshit it.
She's I fucking hate Patty Bounds so much. Like, I can't. Somebody in a group I was in was like, we need to get a letter writing campaign. I think it may have been over the... marijuana bill, I'm not sure, but they're like, we need to start a letter writing campaign if anybody can help with the form emails. I was like, you know, I can't write an email to our elected officials anymore without insulting one or more of them, so I don't think I'm a good choice for this. I think the last time I wrote our Knox County School Board, I ended it with, and I sent this to all the one email to every school board member. And I ended it with, Patty Bounds, you need to step down now. You're not fit to sit on our school board when you're pushing conspiracy theories and, you know, going against science.
The thing is, like, you know, democracy is a thing. Like, these are the representatives of the people. When a representative is a piece of shit, you can rightly assume that the people that voted for her also are.
Patty Bounds' Facebook page, ever since the inauguration, I believe. I don't know if it was the inauguration.
Is that the one that's posting, like, daily images of fucking Trump and Melania? And is she, like, counting down until Trump can be
a... It's a picture of Trump and the number of days left in Biden's presidency. Every single day she does this.
Speaking of Trump's Biden and Trump, I did happen to catch up with my local QAnon sovereign citizen. citizen who firmly believes that while we did not witness the inauguration, that Biden is the president of the United States of America, Incorporated.
That's good. No.
And Trump is the president of the United States.
So he didn't even move the date. He didn't. Because
it's March 20th.
That means that he should be on board with anything Biden passes because it's really from Trump.
Did you tell him about that?
The stimulus check?
No, not yet. I hadn't seen him yet because Biden just signed it today, even though he was scheduled to do it tomorrow, so he kind of did it a day early. So I'll see him. I'll be sure to talk to him
about
that.
So I'll be getting some monies next week?
Yes, monies will be next week. In fact, we may start seeing files as early as tomorrow, slated for Monday and Tuesday, and my institution will be making those immediately available as early as tomorrow.
The last one I got, pretty late. It was like two or three weeks, but the first one I got immediately.
I'm not going to name drop my company, but I do know that the bookkeeping representative gets those files, and as soon as we get them, even if they're slated for Monday or Tuesday or even Wednesday, they're making them immediately available to people as soon as the file comes in.
USAA usually does that.
Nice. So speaking of Trump, this came from, I know a lot of you had seen this. I want to close out on this because it was the most whiny-ass baby, child-ass fucking shit I had ever seen. And this is from the office of Donald J. Trump. Statement by Donald Trump, 45th President of the United States of America. I hope everyone remembers that when they're getting the COVID-19, often referred to as the China virus vaccine, that if I wasn't president, you wouldn't be getting that beautiful shot for 5 years at best and probably wouldn't be getting it at all. I hope everyone remembers. Yeah, I remember you standing on a podium in front of health officials telling us to shove UV lights up our assholes and injecting disinfectant. The vaccine did not become because of you. Now, yeah, you may have directed.
He did. One of the first bills, he did specify that speed up the vaccine approval process.
All we did was give him money.
But here's the thing, yeah. He can't say that if there's any other president that wouldn't have happened because we wouldn't know. We don't know. But I have no doubt that Biden or anybody else, if they were in, they would have acted sooner.
I think they would have acted sooner.
He didn't have any plan. He didn't do shit.
Well, no, he fired the pandemic response team the year before. Yeah. So, to say that in 5 years, what the fuck?
Biden said is that when they inherited the White House, they're like, oh, okay, so what was the plan? Oh, Trump didn't have a plan.
They didn't have a plan, but I will say this. He pledged 150 million vaccines in his first 100 days of presidency. He then kind of walked that back to 100 million. But NBC is like, no, we're going to keep tracking you at 150. He is not here. The U.S. is right now is exceeding that goal. We're on track to beat it with administering over 2 million doses per day. So we were on track to exceed 150 million doses in 100 days. So that because he put fucking scientists in charge and let them do the talking.
I was a little bit uncomfortable with the speeded up approval rate. To be honest, because most vaccines have to go through years of approval. I'm like, this kind of makes me uncomfortable, and I'm going to wait until everybody else gets theirs. But fortunately, they've had this phases that, I couldn't go get it immediately. So I've had time to watch everybody else, and I haven't seen my friends dying from it. So
I wasn't that concerned because I knew that they had undergone 30 or 40,000 trials before they even went to the CDC for approval. Yes, it was fast, but, they had to work. They had to work a lot faster. And they just threw fucking money at them.
I just have this weird thing about shit being injected into me. That's all it is. Like saline. I don't care. If I get an IV, just the idea of shit going, and the fact that I can feel it going into me, it just makes my skin crawl. I hate every bit of it, but it's not needles.
I got
piercings and tattoos. I love needles going into me.
We are all anti-capitalist, but they turned capitalism on this. They're like, which one of these companies you got to race for the money?
Yeah, that's true.
I've been asking, go at it. Because I don't have insurance. One of my big thing is how much is this fucking vaccine going to cost? I haven't heard of anybody being asked insurance information or being charged. So I'm assuming the vaccine's free?
Yeah, I believe so. In fact, Biden announced yesterday the purchase of another $230 million worth of vaccine. That number's probably going to be wrong, but it's in the ballpark of $220-ish million worth of the vaccine product.
I'll definitely be going to get it if it's free.
Yeah.
It's in everyone's benefit to get it, you know?
Like, we know that a lot won't, but I know we need to at least reach 70% to get to herd immunity.
I could guarantee,
I need my household protected.
I could guarantee that if capitalism thought that it wasn't in everyone's benefit to get the vaccine, that they would have charged for it. But they know that, you know, everyone needs it so we can have everyone making
well,
money.
They're getting well, keep in mind that Pfizer and Moderna, they're getting their money.
They're getting their money either way. Yeah, they're getting their money either way.
But we're paying for it in our taxes. It's just not coming again out of our pocket. So you're not wrong, Sam, but it wasn't necessary
evil. They couldn't find a way to fit the bill down to us.
It wasn't necessary evil to kind of support the capitalism and that to get those companies to move their asses and get this out.
They used capitalism to support the capitalism.
All right, guys, so we'll see you all next week. Thank you for joining us for episode 6 of Apostates on the Fringe. As always, you can find us on social media, on Facebook and Twitter. Please consider leaving us a 5-star review and sharing the show out as often as you can, kind of boost support. If you want to view the show notes, get links to the articles, or contact the show, you can go to apostatepod.com, and we'll see you all next week.
Fuck Republicans, but not literally.
Yeah, don't fuck Republicans physically.
Thank you all very much.
Views and opinions of the hosts of Apostates on the Fringe do not represent the views and opinions of the Atheist Society of Knoxville. For links to all our musical contributors, go to apostatepod.com and check the About Us page. A big thank you to Michael Scott Arden, who allows the show to use his full catalog.